Lydia Stern was a formidable woman, a reporter for the Midwestern Arcane, a yellow journal based out of Chicago that did its best to report on the supernatural. Sometimes they managed to get close to the truth, but more often they ran stories that had headlines like Lizard Baby Born in Trailer Park, or maybe Bigfoot and the Chupacabra, the Unholy Alliance. By and large, the stories were amusing and fairly harmless, but once in a while, someone stumbled into something strange, and it made it into the paper. Susan Rodriguez had been a lead reporter for the Arcane until she'd run into exactly the wrong story. Now she lived her life somewhere in South America, fighting off the infection in her soul that wanted to turn her into one of the Red Court, while she and her half-vampire buddies campaigned against their would-be recruiters. When Lydia Stern took over Susan's old job a couple of years back, her reporting had taken a different angle. She'd investigated strange events and then demanded to know why the appropriate institutions had been ignoring them. The woman had a scathing intellect and penetrating wit, and she employed both liberally and with considerable panache in her writing. She was unafraid to challenge anyone in her articles, from some small-town animal control unit to the FBI. It was a shame she was working at a rag like the Arcane, instead of a reputable paper in D.C. or New York. She'd have been a Pulitzer nominee inside of 5 years. City officials who had to deal with the cases I'd brushed up against had developed a nearly supernatural ability to vanish whenever she was around. None of them wanted to be the next person Lydia Stern eviscerated in print. She had a growing reputation as an investigative terror. Ms. Stern, I said in a low, grave voice, extra emphasis on the Z in Ms. I wonder if you might have a few moments. The terror of the Midwest Arcane whirled to face me, and her face broke into a cherubic grin. She was a little over 5 feet tall, pleasantly plump, and of Asian ancestry. She had a sparkling smile, thick glasses, curly black hair, and was wearing a pair of denim overalls over an old Queensryche t-shirt. Her tennis shoes had bright pink laces on them. Harry Dresden, she said. She had a sort of breathless, bubbling voice, the kind that seemed like it could barely contain laughter beneath almost every word. Ha! I knew this one smelled right. Could be, I said. I hadn't been real forthcoming with Lydia. It hadn't worked out well with reporters in the past. Whenever I spoke to her, little daggers of guilt stabbed at me, reminders that I could not afford to let careless words get her into too much trouble. Despite that, we'd gotten along, and I'd never lied to her. I hadn't bothered to try. You busy? She gestured at the bag, whose strap hung over her shoulder. I've got recordings, and I'll want to jot down some notes shortly. She tilted her head to one side. Why do you ask? I need a thug to scare some guys for me, I said. The dimples in her cheeks deepened. Oh? Yeah, I said. Do this for me, I'll give you 10 minutes on this. I waved my hand vaguely at the hotel around us. As soon as I have some time free. Her eyes brightened. Done, she said. What do I do? Hang around outside a doorway, and I grinned. Just be yourself. Good, I can do that. She nodded once, curls bouncing, and followed me to the room where they were grilling my friend's daughter. I opened the door, like I owned the place, and walked in. The room wasn't a big one, maybe the size of a large elementary school classroom. There was a raised platform about a foot high at one end, with chairs on it behind a long table. More chairs faced it in rows. A sign, now discarded on the floor behind the door, declared that the room was scheduled for something called filking between noon and 5 o'clock today. Filking sounded suspiciously like it might be an activity somehow related to spawning salmon, or maybe some kind of bizarre mammalian discussion. I decided it was probably one of those things I was happier not knowing. Green was in the room, standing on the platform with his arms folded, a sour frown on his face. Molly sat in the first row of chairs, still in the same clothes as the night before. She looked tired. She'd been crying. Next to her was a man of medium build and unremarkable height, with brown hair just tousled enough to be fashionable. He wore a gray suit, its gravity somewhat offset by a black tie that featured Marvin the Martian. I recognized him. Rick, Murphy's ex.